Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast.
Good morning. It is good to see you here on this beautiful Pentecost Sunday as we celebrate the birth of the church, but also we celebrate Confirmation Sunday for three new members, a reception of new members into our North Hollywood family. We're glad that you're with us. We invite you to fill out the pads in your pews so that you can register, and so we know that you are here and get in touch with you if you need someone to get in touch with you. We also want to invite you, if you have children, we have a one-room Sunday school with Miss Letha Watts in the community room, and then they come back in for children time with children, and then they go back out for Sunday school. And so we invite you to continue to be in celebration in the spirit of worship and praise with us.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, the one who sang a new melody as God's creation rose from chaos, who wept at the dark shadow of a cross, and who danced early in the morning at the opening of an empty tomb. Come, Holy Spirit, the one who could not be contained by wind or flame or breath, the one who blesses the church with courage, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit, to us, who gather this day with trembling hands and uncertain hearts. Teach us to sing a new song and to dance with reckless abandon. Here, in this gathering of believers, as you did with those so long ago, breathe on us now. Breathe on us, blowing away our fears and our hesitations. Breathe on us, transforming our hard-heartedness into passion-filled lives. Breathe on us, for we need peace, peace that only you can give. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you will open your bulletins and join us in the call to worship. God, in the Spirit revealed in Jesus Christ, calls us by grace. Renewed in the image of our Creator, that we may be one in divine love for the world.
Today is the day that God cares for the integrity of creation, wills the healing and wholeness of all life, leaves at the plunder of earth's goodness.
So shall we.
Today is the day God cries with the masses of starving people, despises growing disparity between rich and poor, demands justice for workers in the marketplace.
So shall we. Today is a day God deplores violence from our homes and streets, rebukes the world's warring madness, humbles the powerful, and lifts up the lowly. And so shall we.
Today is the day God calls for nations and peoples to live in peace, celebrates where justice and mercy embrace, exults when the wolf grazes with the lamb.
And so shall we.
Today is the day God brings good news to the poor, proclaims release to the captives, gives sight to the blind, and sets the oppressed free.
And so shall we.
At this time, we are soliciting prayers from our congregation as part of our intercessory prayers to God. As we do so, and before we enter into a time of prayer, or we are entering into a time of prayer, but before we pray together, we lift up those who have been on your hearts and in your minds this week and every day, as we pray for your beloved family members and friends near and abroad, those in need of prayer. This week we pray for one of our own community who we haven't seen in a while. We pray for Bill Varney, who has been missing, we've been missing him in worship for the past few weeks due to serious medical and health ailments. We also pray for those looking for work, those who need support, those who need friendship, those suffering from illness and loneliness and depression, those who suffer from mental illness. We also open our wider circle of family and friends and open that prayer for them. We lift up those who have suffered loss and death. We pray for those in our country and for our leadership. We pray for those who have been devastated from natural or man-made disasters, via war, government turmoil. We pray for all those who are struggling at this time. We pray for those affected by the eruption of Kilauea volcano on the Big Island as it is destroying homes in its path. We pray for the victims of hatred and racism and bigotry. We pray for the over 60 Palestinians who were killed at the Gaza border and over 1,113 who were injured. We pray for peace. We pray for the victims and families of the 10 who have died and 13 injured in the Santa Fe High School, Texas shooting on Thursday. Ken Ellis's cousin Cindy's grandchildren attend Santa Fe High School and were able to get out safely. But we know that no one who left that tragedy was unscathed. We ask you and invite you now into a time of silent prayer. And then as we do so, with each refrain of prayer, I will invite you to say, "Help us, Lord." Let us pray silently to God. Loving God, we ask for the gift of your Holy Spirit to help us pray as we ought. And we say, Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We ask for the energy and vision of your Spirit for those who are tiring in the battle against injustice and oppression, for those exhausted by the struggle with poverty and hunger. And we say, Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. We ask for the hope and comfort of your Spirit, for those whose lives are overshadowed by illness or pain, for those whose lives are darkened by sorrow or bereavement, we say, Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. We ask for the peace and joy of your Spirit for those living in the shadow of war and violence, for those eaten up by guilt and anxiety, and whose Christian life has become hard and dry. We say, Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. We ask for the guidance and strength of your Spirit, for those uncertain how to use their time, their talents, their gifts, their service and witness, for those tempted to do what is wrong. We say, Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. We ask for the love and courage of your Spirit, for those reaching out to comfort the distressed, for those reaching out to others with the good news of Christ, we say, Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. O loving God, we ask for the assurance of your Spirit, to know your presence with us in our daily lives, in our relationships, in our work and service, in our worship, in our times of joy and pain. We say, Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. And now, with the Holy Spirit in this holy place, let us pray the prayer that your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power.
So I've gotten into the habit of every time I sing this song, I thank you for your indulgence. Many of you have heard me do this many times. Maybe there's one or two of you that haven't heard it yet. I hope so. So the first time I heard the song was as a child in the Friendship Free Will Baptist Church, which to this day, by the way, is about 2 or 3 miles off in the woods down a dirt road off of Highway number 5, just north of Rosebud, Arkansas. And it was sung by a woman named Janie Hanna, who's about my parents' age. It was the church where my parents grew up, so it's always been very special for me. So let's skip ahead to about 1987 or somewhere along in there, and I was asked to sing for the first time here at this church. And when you're fresh out of the hills of Arkansas, this place can be a little imposing, and I thought about all these big aria-type pieces of music that I could do here in this church, and I thought, well, no, for the first thing that I'm going to do here, they need to know who I am and where I come from. So this is what I picked. So that's the main reason I like to keep doing it. I travel down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me, and then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I worked so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hands safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. O Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hands, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee.
Amen. Yes, it is time for our children. I'm going to invite our 2018 class of confirmation students to come forward, and all the kids. If you did not receive a streamer or a little Pentecost bag, can you raise your hand? Daniela, do you need one? Are there any more in the back? Check. Yes, so we need a couple. Hi, Kai. Hi, guys. Hi, Mari. I want you all to sit down, have a seat. We're going to tell a story, but we need everybody's help today, so I need the confirmation classes help. I need all of you, because you all have streamers, right? What are your streamers supposed to be? Fire? Is that fire? Everybody who's out there, do you have a streamer? Wave your fire streamers. Those are tongues of flames. Woohoo! So we're telling a story today, and I need all your help. So every time we talk about tongues of flames, everybody wave your tongues of flames. Whew, awesome. Yay, we have somebody else gonna wave her flame. And then I need your help. I need everybody to make a really sad or mourning face, like pretend you're really sad. How do you make a sad face? Everybody out in the congregation, do you have a sad face on? Sad face. Landon, can you make a sad face? How about if you know a different language, can you say thank you in a different language? Everybody at the same time. One, two, three. It did not all sound like thank you to me. That's very good. All right, are you ready for the story, guys? Are you kids ready for the story? Kyra and Henry and Landon and Annabelle and Ashley and the little one down there? Hi, Amari. I know. We're going to tell a story, okay? So once upon a time, I know, but I can't tell the story with you. Once upon a time, there was a room full of disciples, and they were very, very sad. Can everybody make a sad face? Everybody out there, make a sad face for the kids. Kids, make a sad face for everybody out there. They were very sad because Jesus went up to heaven, and so today was Pentecost. It's a day that we celebrate. The Jewish people celebrated 50 days after Passover, and that's why it's called Pentecost, 5-0, Pentecost. That is their party day, right? But everyone was sad. But all of a sudden, oh, I forgot this last sound effect. Can everybody make a sound of gushing wind, the violent wind, mighty wind? That sound of mighty wind came, and all of a sudden, there were tongues of flames over everybody. I can't do it. You're missing it. There were tongues of flames over everybody's heads. You gotta wave your tongues of flames. Woo! And then all of a sudden, everybody outside was speaking a different language. Everybody say thank you in their different languages. And you know what was so cool? They all understood each other. It was very cool. I can lift you up now. So they all understood each other. And guess what was really cool? Peter was able to talk to everyone. Even though they didn't understand different languages, they were able to hear the message of God. And guess how many people decided to love God? Can you guess, Henry? Take a guess. Pick a number. 100. Anybody else want to pick a number? How many do you think, Ashley? Infinity. Ooh, that's good. Danielle, how many people do you think? She thinks 1,000. How about you, Brian? 2,000. Oh, you want to up that one, Andrew? 3,000. 3,000 converts on that day. So on Pentecost, we celebrate the birthday of the church. So can everybody raise their tongue of flames? Woo! Happy birthday, church! And so as we do that, we remember why we're gathered here. And I wanted you kids and I wanted the church to meet our three confirmands of this year's class. This is Daniela. Hey, guys, look behind you. There's Daniela right here. Kyra, where's Daniela? There, Daniela. And then there's Brian and Andrew. Can you say hi to Daniela, Andrew, and Brian, everyone? Hello. They're going to be joining the church today. And when you all get big, you get to do the same thing when you make a decision that you want to be a part of the church. So I want you all to pray with me. Are you ready? Repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for teaching us to love Jesus, to learn about the Holy Spirit, and feel God in our lives every day. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and we'll see all of you after church. And confirmand, you can go back to your seats. Ready, Mari? I love you.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, for the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Today's scripture is from the book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 3 through 13. "Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is the Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. The word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God."
Thanks be to God. There was a child that was wandering around our campus one Sunday, and she stopped and examined our large wall of name plaques that was hanging on, that are on the wall on the side. And she wondered out loud, "What are all those names up there?" And I just so happened to hear her, so I replied, "Sweetie, those are the names of our saints and people who died in service." After a long pause, the girl looked up and asked, "Was it the 8:15 or the 10:30 service?" I am happy to report that today we are celebrating a birth, not a death, this morning. It is the birth of our church. the birth of Christ in you and me, and in all who call on his name. And today we also celebrate those who have made the decision to come forward in the membership of Christ through confirmation. So let us think on these things. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts make them acceptable in thy sight, our God, our fire lit within us, and our Redeemer. Amen. The annual celebration of the Paschal Mystery, which began on Ash Wednesday, culminates on this day today, on Pentecost. Today is Pentecost. Today is the church's birthday. Today is our Go and Make Disciples of Christ for the Transformation of the World Day. Today is Pastor Allison's Gets to Play with Fire Day. But I'm afraid that I might set the church afire. And the point is hearts afire, not your 69-year-old brick building. But my friends, I am fired up because today is a great day. With our rich traditional history dating back even before John Wesley, we can biblically date our own Christian heritage back to that room where the apostles gathered 50 days after Passover, a tradition which would have them had them gathered together anyway. But this time, they were sad. They were sad to have lost their Messiah again when he had ascended into heaven 10 days prior. It was almost like going back to the days after Jesus was crucified, back to the mourning, back to the sadness, back to the grief. Those disciples were mopey and possibly going back into mourning once again. But God needed to remind them that they were never alone. And he reminded them in quite the over-the-top dramatic way. Mighty winds. You can do it. Tongues of fire. Patty didn't make those for nothing, people. And as those tongues rested on their heads, and then their own tongues filled with the Spirit, babbling in different languages, yet this time everyone could understand each other. Crowds gathered, and they were not drunk, as it was proclaimed by Peter. For it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They are not drunk. Whereas some non-believer might have said, oh, it's happy hour somewhere. But with the Holy Spirit, people were converted. 3,000 people, it says, were converted. What a crazy story. But now get this. It gets even more bizarre as the history goes by. Have any of you ever heard of Holy Spirit holes? Holy Spirit holes. So, Patty and Ken, you might want to take notes for next year's Pentecost, okay? Get a mental picture of this. In the Middle Ages, holes were punched into the ceiling and the roofs of churches to symbolize the openness to God. Well, on Pentecost, they also released doves through those holes. You know, Patty's like looking, where would I punch the hole? And bundles of rose petals would fall through the holes and dropped onto the people's heads gathered inside. Then the choir, which was all boys at that time, moved through the congregation, making whooshing sounds to remind everyone of the rush of the Spirit. And I bet some of our young people today would have liked that job. I have another question for you. When you think of the Holy Spirit, what bird comes to mind? Doves. But instead of the dove, Celtic Christians chose the wild goose as a symbol representing the Holy Spirit. So can you imagine what church would have been like if they had released a wild goose through that hole in the ceiling? And here thousands of years later, what do we do on Pentecost? Can you look around and tell me? What do we do? How do we celebrate Pentecost? We wear red. Doesn't hold a candle to the Middle Ages now, does it? Our gospel lesson tells of Jesus appearing to his confused and grieving friends, offering them peace and the gift of the Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, he says. And he breathed on the disciples the power of a spiritual life. Jesus continues to greet us in that same way. God's Spirit comes and moves to people, to repentance and conversion. This breath the Spirit gives to us is to the people of God. What God gives us when he gives us the Spirit is more than strength and support and teaching and comfort, those things we normally identify with God's presence. What God gives us more too than joy and peace and patience and kindness, those are the things which we call the fruit of the Holy Spirit. God gives us as well a set of gifts designed for the building up of the body of the church, as you heard in 1 Corinthians, and for the individual ministries to which we are called, and for our spiritual life. And as we heard in the Acts text, the prophet Joel, in his prophecy of the last days, mentions some of the gifts of God through his Spirit, gifts of vision, gifts of dreams, gifts of prophecy. Then there's Peter, in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, speaks of the gift of tongues. And then there's Paul, who lists some of the gifts that God gives and explores with the Corinthian congregation, how those gifts can be used and abused. The gift of teaching, the gift of discernment, the gift of exhortation, the gift of hospitality, the gift of intercession, the gift of words of wisdom, the gift of prophecy, the gift of faith, the gift of administration, and the gift of helping, and the gift of mercy. These gifts are spiritual gifts. They are gifts of our second birth that give us the ability to minister to others. And as we read the Bible and hear the phenomenal stories of those who live out their faith, we too know it is in our call to serve God and the world. And whether those stories are recorded in the annals of history, we can still see the many ways that the Holy Spirit manifests within us. In the nurse who has been working with Alzheimer's patients for 10 years and whose patients never get well or never give testimonials. In the woman who cares for her children with humor and love and kindness, even though she is a single parent. In the teen who leads her community in starting a recycling program. Or in the man who somehow finds peace in his soul after he's lived through a brutal war in Korea, or in Vietnam, or in Iraq, or Afghanistan. Or in the gay couple that have the courage and faith to come to church, knowing that they might receive condemnation, judgment, or worse. Or in the parent who stops what seems urgent to do something more important, like spending some time with their children. Or in the husband or wife that choose to remain faithful to a spouse when the temptation to drift creeps into married life. Or in the kid that finds courage to stand up to friends or foes and say no to drugs or sex or bullying. Or in the person who is willing to sacrifice wealth and prestige and power to serve in jobs that don't pay well, but serve others. Or in the person who bears the pains of sickness and age without becoming bitter. Or maybe in the 70-year-old man who chose with his wife to adopt one more of their foster children, and then his wife tragically dies weeks later, leaving him to raise the child on their own. Where is the Spirit at work? The Spirit is at work in the human heart, and in human minds, and our souls, in us everyday people. The Spirit is at work in the places where the Spirit chooses to take up residence. Maybe you'll write your own sermon this week, and you'll tell me where the Spirit is at work. I would love to hear it. Last night, we held a special dinner for our confirmands, Daniela, Brian, and Andrew. It was a culmination with families and mentor shepherds, celebrating our confirmands coming to an end of 3 months of confirmation conversations and are making their own informed decisions to become official members, to not only join North Hollywood First United Methodist Church, but acknowledging their call to the greater small c Catholic, which means universal, church. But in our final dinner table conversation, we acknowledge that this was not an end to their learning, that this was just a starting point of their continued journey of faith, one that they have committed to confirm their faith to, one that you will commit your faith to teach and lead them. It is in their commitment to confirm their faith from their baptism and to affirm the grace of God, that undeserved gift of love that they have always had and experienced through Christ and the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, committing to serve their church with their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, and of course, their witness. And it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 text that Brian just read that we are all called to share in the body of Christ. That we are all called to use our varieties of gifts and services, our prayers and our presence, and our witness to Christ in the world. And we do not do this alone, but we do so together. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And it is in that Spirit, that Pentecostal Spirit, that we know that we are yet alive, that we are chosen, and that we are called to be the sharers of the good news. So at this time, my friends, I would like to call forward our confirmands to the altar space here and invite their families and friends, as well as their mentor shepherds, to stand below. Yes, I want to invite our lay leader, Doug, to stand with us too. You can stand up there with the mentors. You're good. You're good, Doug. I didn't give you instructions earlier. So I invite all of you to participate in this service of confirmation of the vows of baptism and reception of new members. So brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we accept and renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge that God, what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church and its ministries of love, compassion, justice, and peace. At this time, I invite the families to present those to be confirmed. One more time, Mama.
We present Daniela Unice Lake for confirmation.
We present Brian Christopher Anchera for confirmation.
We present Andrew Jeremiah Serrano Esposo for confirmation.
Now this is your test, confirmands, and you can read along and join in with them at the appropriate parts, congregation. But to our confirmands, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of the world, and repent of your sin? If you do, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. To our parents, to shepherds, to friends, your questions. Will you nurture these persons in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Will you sponsor these candidates, support and encourage them in their Christian life? Say we will. Sorry, it's not there. And to you, candidates, according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Shepherds, you four here. Doug is our church lay leader. Patty Kelsey and Norman Kelsey and Ken Ellis are the confirmation mentors and shepherds. Your question, will you, who shepherd and mentor these candidates, support and encourage them in their Christian life? And to you, congregation and choir, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live accordingly to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them who walk in the way that leads to life. I'm going to invite all of you to join together with our confirmands in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father, God the Creator? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you, congregation, believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth life. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through the water. After the flood, you sent in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ they may share in final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Confirmation is not a re-baptism. We don't re-baptize in the Methodist Church, but we confirm and reaffirm the baptism that our families have made with us and for us. For Daniela and Brian, they were born into the Methodist Church and baptized as infants. For Andrew, he was baptized as a teenager in the Seventh-day Adventist Church and chooses to reaffirm his confirmation of faith here with us at North Hollywood. At this time, we're going to confirm each individually, and so I invite first the family of Daniela Unice Lake, and I invite her mentor, Shepherd Patty Kelsey, to come. And I invite our lay leader, Doug. We will be laying hands on our confirmands. Place your hand anywhere on Daniela's head or shoulders. Guys, you can reach over. You can touch somebody next to you. That's okay, too. Daniela, remember your baptism and be thankful. Daniela, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And people say, at this time, we invite the family of Brian, Christopher, and Chetta, and his mentor, Norman Kelsey, and our lay leader, Doug, and his fellow confirmants to lay hands on him. Brian, remember your baptism and be thankful. Brian, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And the people said, at this time we invite the friends and mentor Shepherd and Doug, we invite Mary Jo and JC to come forward and to lay their hands on Andrew, Jeremiah, Soriano, Esposo. Andrew, remember your baptism and be thankful. Andrew, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And the people said, thank you. The confirmands may stay and the mentors may stay. Wait, hold on, confirmands. Explain their gifts in a little. Let us pray. God of grace, source of strength and hope, we ask your blessing upon all who profess their faith and upon Daniela, Brian, and Andrew, who are now added to the number of people seeking to be faithful witnesses to Jesus as Lord. Grant them the courage to offer their gifts to the world as testimonies to the blessing provided by you, that they would become blessing to all with whom they share life. Guide them into full discipleship, guard them from destroying evil, and lead them into a life of humble service and overflowing joy. We pray as those who are called to follow Christ into the kingdom of resurrecting grace, brought forth by your reconciling mercy, steadfast love, and enduring peace. Amen. So, confirmands, as members of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you do, say, I will. And as you are received into the local congregation at North Hollywood First, as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service? And we always add, and witness, if you do say, I will. And to the congregation, people of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you to Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our serve, and witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. At this time, you will see that their mentor shepherds have bestowed upon them a stole, a confirmation stole, not an ordained minister's stole, but a confirmation stole of, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle them in the fire of your love. They will also receive the right hand of fellowship as Doug Ebach, our lay leader of North Hollywood, welcomes them to the church with their certificate of baptism. Doug says this is in his pay grade. And if I can untangle this, I thought I had a system, but I was not so great. These are crosses from the Holy Land made in Bethlehem out of olive wood. And I might have to ask Patty to untangle. But I'll give you a hug and she'll give you these after. Welcome to the church. And we thank you, church. As you welcome these three into the life of North Hollywood First, we're going to have you greet them as at the end of service, and you can greet them in the fellowship hall. But we thank you for being a part of their lives on their faith journey. So if you are able in body and in spirit, please stand if you are able and sing hymn 347, Spirit Song. And families, you may go back to your pews. And yes, and we can give a clap to our confirmands. I'm going to invite you to be seated. Before we send you off with a benediction, I would like to invite our staff parish relations committee chair, Sean Beaton, to make a special announcement this morning.
Good morning. Here I am again, another announcement for you. So this is a letter that I'll be reading from District Superintendent Pastor Jim Powell. Dear church family of North Hollywood UMC, grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to you as your North District Superintendent to share with you the next step in your pastoral leadership. God often calls us to serve in new places and then prepares the way. As United Methodist pastors, we serve under the authority of the bishop for the greater good of the body of Jesus Christ, and more specifically, the California Pacific Annual Conference. The North Hollywood UMC has experienced loss beyond our control. However, you have also been blessed with a gifted interim pastor because of this itinerant system. After much prayer and consultation with the appointed cabinet, Bishop Grant Hagia has discerned a new senior pastor for the North Hollywood United Methodist Church. His name is the Reverend Steve Peralta. I'll repeat that, Reverend Steve Peralta. He has served larger churches throughout our conference and will be with you as lead pastor beginning July 1st, 2000.